Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, this is Susan, and welcome to another inspiring episode of the On Purpose Show. And Rick will not be with us today. He is on vacation this week in Hawaii. And so I have the honor of interviewing our wonderful guest, Peg Conley. And Peg is the author of a book with a fabulous title. The title is Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It. It includes 52 inspired habits and playful prompts. And so let me share with you a bit about Peg, and then we can just simply move on and hear her story of her journey to a life work of passion and purpose. Peg has been an artist all of her life, and like many of us, she took an extremely long detour into the corporate world, where she was known as the corporate sales queen in Seattle, where she experienced a great deal of success, was quite happy in the work that she did, an extremely busy family life, and art was something that she did on vacations, on weekends, and when she could find time to carve out in her very busy life. But yet there was something gnawing at her, this nagging feeling that life might hold something else for her in the midst of everything else that was on her plate. And then came the big aha moment. One day she heard that still small voice, and the words she heard were, "Imagine the life you want to live, then live it," which has become the title of her new book. And so today, Peg is an artist, writer, and CEO of her own company, Words and Watercolors, in San Francisco. And you may have seen her work on cards, calendars, journals, wallpaper, wrapping paper, and quilting fabrics. And we are thrilled to have you with us here today. Hi, Peg.
Hi, Susan. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so I just like to jump right in because you have a story that I'm sure so many people can identify with. So what are some of the turning points in your journey to this life work of passion and purpose?
Well, that's a big question. And I would like to say the turning points come at times that you don't really plan them, but you get to flow down the river of life with them. I've always wanted to have a greeting card company. When I was a little girl, I would make cards for my family and would write PC and company 25 cents on the back. And in college, my roommate and I would design postcards, and it's always something I've always wanted to do. And I did it in the mid-90s for about 2 years, and at the time, I was in sales, and I had my children were young, and I was married, and I only did it for 2 years because I couldn't keep it up. But it's always with you, and at some point, life will allow this to come to you, and you've got to take the opportunity, and it can be very scary. Some people may be able to plan for it, but I didn't plan for it. It just happened as a result of life circumstances. And that was the fact that I'd been a single mom for 10 years, and then I got married 7 years ago. And my husband currently and I went to high school together in Indiana, but he lived in San Francisco and I lived in Seattle. And it was after our marriage that I moved down here and couldn't find a job in my career because of the economy. And Mark had said after my house sold, "Why don't you do what you always wanted to do?" And that was the beginning of Words and Watercolor starting for the second time.
And so tell us a little bit about Words and Watercolors.
Words and Watercolors, as the name indicates, is comprised of my words and my watercolors. And I've always written in a journal. It's one of my big things I advocate. And I've always played with my paints, as I say. And so words and watercolors started as a way for me to express my thoughts and my ideas and share that with the world in the form of greeting cards. And I started, as I indicated, in the 90s. I only did it for a little bit and didn't know anything about the gift industry. So that was a good toe in the water to learning the gift industry. And then when I committed to it, I started full-time in 2010. And I, again, learned, having had a sales background really helped me. And I think anyone that has a professional background, you're learning skills and you're learning, you know, transferable skill sets that will help you no matter what you do. And the sales part of me helped me just pick up the phone and make contacts with whoever I wanted to ask questions or get information about. And words and watercolors, I went to a trade show, and I think I only got my first trade show, I got one order, and I was so completely flabbergasted because, of course, I went with incredibly ridiculous expectations that didn't happen. So I had to talk myself off that mountain and back to the world of reality. But I just kept putting one foot in front of the other and just kept trying and just kept asking questions of myself and listening for the answers and also asking questions of others. And I think it's just a process. You just keep trying and you keep trying. And the, you know, go confidently, Thoreau's quote, go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life of you've imagined, that and never give up. There's a company called Quotable Quotes. They have lovely cards with these really intense quotes, and I have those kind of plastered around as well. Never give up. If you don't give up, you will find a way.
Yeah, and so where is this new book in this process for you?
The new book, this is one where things do just fall in your lap, and this is where grace, I feel, comes into your life. I feel I actually had an idea for a calendar that I was pitching to a calendar company. I wanted to license my art for a calendar. I used to have my art licensed with a company, and I had a calendar, and that went away. And so I got this idea to challenge yourself, and I write about this in one of my chapters about brainstorming. And so I had a lovely little brainstorm session when I was flying back home to Indiana 2 years ago for my nephew's wedding, and the company I was going to meet with was in Indianapolis. So I got this idea, and I was so excited about it, and I had the meeting with the art director, and she was also excited and asked me to put it in a proposal form, which I did. And then I had a meeting about a week or so later with my friend Maggie, and Maggie is the minister at Unity Church here in San Francisco, and I was going to be doing a gratitude workshop at Maggie's church for Thanksgiving. So I was telling Maggie about this idea for my calendar, and Maggie says, that sounds like that could be a book. And she goes, you know, I've written a few books. And I said, that's right. So Maggie, who's written Crafting Calm with Viva Editions, put me in touch with Brenda, the publisher at Viva Editions. And that's how the book came about. I contacted Brenda. She liked the idea. She helped me explore and expand it. She helped me with the book proposal, and it got accepted, and here it is today.
Well, I'm sitting here with the chills because we're all, you, Maggie, and I am also a Viva author, and Maggie has been a guest on the show a number of times, so it's so nice to have that circle continue to expand with these fabulous books. So tell us a little bit in Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It. You have 52 inspired habits and playful prompts. Give us an idea of a few of them.
Oh, there are some that are playful and there's some that make a lot of sense. I one of my favorites is take a nap. And that's the kind of chapter that you wouldn't normally think of in a book about imagining the life, but I think it's important to take a nap, and to me that's listening to your body, and just like Einstein, you might get some ideas or that flash of inspiration in a dream or in your nap. So another one is unplug to recharge. And I think we're all aware of how connected we are these days. 10 years ago, there wasn't even Facebook. And now, how many times a day do you check your Facebook page? And an unplug to recharge, I believe that gives us the permission to say, I'm not going to plug in for 2 days and or 1 day or whatever time period and make it a regular weekly not plugging in or whatever you want. But that allows creativity to bubble up, I believe, or, again, listening to yourself instead of being bombarded with everything that's coming at us in this plugged-in world. Another one that I have is just laugh. And, again, you know, I just laugh. It's important to laugh and have a playful attitude. And I believe if we come to our work or if we come to life with this joy and playfulness, that we get that back, and it's exuberance that kind of just goes out into the world and makes us all feel good and things can come easily to us when we have that open-heartedness, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, what I'm struck by in the examples that you've given, the nap, the unplug, the laugh, is that so often when we're on this journey in our life to identify and to do the work that we're most passionate about and that it's purposeful for us, it's so easy to take it so seriously that we get lost in the process. So I really love the three habits that you just mentioned to us. And, you know, it's wonderful to have them reinforced and affirmed by someone who is obviously successful doing what you love.
Right. Well, I will say that they come from my own experience of being too serious and too worried and too fearful and too doubting. I mean, I have struggled with all of that. I even after starting my company, I can't tell you how many times I'd say, what the am I doing? I must be crazy. I should just give up and go back and find a sales job, or can I really do this? And I would scour, you know, books or readings or listening to shows like yours to help me realize that, you know, no, really, if I live from my heart, and I think there's a chapter in my book as well that talks about living from your heart. And I had an experience when I moved here to San Francisco. I had my St. Francis statue that used to be on the patio in my backyard in Seattle, and I put it, of course, we live in a Victorian flat, so it's on the stairs. We come up the stairs and into our apartment. And we had gotten kitties when we first moved here, and one day the kitties were playing with their little ball and hit the St. Francis, and he went bouncing down the stairs, and his head fell off. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my God, St. Francis's head fell off. And in my shaman world, I was in a part of a shaman circle for many years up in Seattle. I was taught to look at everything in metaphorically, or look at what does this mean? And it came to me a few days later that St. Francis's head fell off, so I could learn to not live from my head. And instead, I'm now living in the city of San Francisco, which is, of course, you know, it's Tony Bennett singing about my heart. And this is the city of heart. And so I'm learning to open my heart. And I think that's where I've learned to keep it playful. And when I know from my own experience that when I get into my head and get worried or fearful or doubting, if I can get back to my heart and playful, things shift.
What an important message. So I'm curious, do you have any ideas of what keeps so many people from living their imagined lives, from living their dreams?
I believe, if just from my own experience, that we don't, as a society, although I think there's more and more encouragement to live your dreams and be open to your passions and do this, we also don't teach that it's probable or possible for you to do this, because we live in a world where you go to college, you get a job, you start your retirement, your 401k, you buy the house, you get the white picket fence, your kids grow up, and you're always working to sustain this life. And I struggled again when I did this, because I had to go against all of that. I sold my house in Seattle and didn't buy another house, and it has bothered me for 5 years that I'm renting instead of owning a home. And I've been honestly taking money out of my money, I've been taking money out as opposed to putting it in, knowing that it will come and it is coming, but we don't teach, we live in this world where security is everything. And I think if you can embrace that, well, we have to be more fluid and not hold on to that security and it has to look like this. If we can teach that things come in ways you can't even imagine and they fall in your lap, like the way this book fell into my lap, that was pure grace, I believe. And I couldn't have pushed or tried any harder to make that happen. And those miracles and magic and miracles, as I like to call it, they happen when we can be open and not in that restrictive, closed way of society that it only looks this way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it seems like you were really clear about what you loved. I mean, from my experience, the magic in miracles is certainly grace at work, but it's also combined with me being awake to what my heart song is,
right?
What's most important to me, what I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then showing up. So my next question is, so when you face a setback, how do you approach that? Maybe you have a concrete example that you can give us.
Well, I think a very recent example is on Monday. I followed up with Words and Watercolors. I'm always looking for reps in different parts of the country because I'm growing my line. This is a wholesale line of product, and I have reps that go call on retailers, and then they write orders and send them in, and we place that's primarily how my business works. So mm-hmm. I've got reps in various parts of the country, and I'm needing to continue to get reps in a few areas where I have holes. So I had contacted a rep firm in Southern California and spoken with him, the owner, about 2 weeks ago, and sent a package of my product and felt it would be a good fit for various reasons. And he agreed and said he would review it with his reps and get back to me. And I didn't hear from them last week, sent an email following up. Again, this is that sales persona in me where you mm-hmm. just call and follow up and do your due diligence. So I followed up again on Monday, left a message, sent an email, and later in the day I got an email back basically saying, you know, thanks for sending it. It looks nice, but after our review, we don't believe it's right for us. And I just go, oh, my nerves. How am I ever going to, you know, how am I going to find a rep in Southern California? It is a tough market to find a rep group for my product down there. So I got a little upset. I was a little, excuse the word, but pissy. And feeling rather pitiful. And that is something I always have done in the past when I was in sales and would lose an account or lose something. I allow myself, and I think this is the key, you got to allow yourself to feel it, because you just can't be happy-go-lucky skipping down the sidewalk every day. So I allowed myself to feel bad and for a bit of time, and then it was like, okay, I'll figure out something else, or something will come along. And then I talk myself back into the, well, you know what, it probably wouldn't have been right anyhow, and there's a better fit out there, I just don't know what it is yet. So I guess allow yourself to feel bad and then reframe it, or as a change your perspective. That's another chapter I have in my book talking about how we need to, you know, stand out, like I said, in yoga, I stand on my head and look the other way out of the room. It's a different perspective, and you can see things differently to change your perspective.
That's such a great example, because I think it's important to know that even when we're clear about what we're doing, even when our work is a reflection of our heart song and our purpose, we're going to bump up against obstacles and challenges. Mm-hmm. And being able to navigate those by laughing, having a new perspective, taking a nap. Something is so important in order to reconnect or strengthen our connection with what our dream is. So thank you so much for that example. Here's another question, which is, you had a very successful career, corporate career in sales. So what you're doing now can be viewed as an encore career. How would you advise others to prepare for their encore career while they're still in their current positions?
I would say just keep doing what you love. Knowing what your encore career, what you want to focus on, find the time to do that. And that will be nights or weekends or vacations or whenever you wake up early in the morning at 6 o'clock to fit in an hour for your writing or whatever it is that you're doing. But I think it's important to keep the dream alive and know it will unfold and show itself to you however or when the universe finds an opportunity to hand it to you. And I think you just have to hold the vision. And as one of my cards says, I think hold the vision, all comes to fruition. And just trust that it is happening at some level.
Also, very, very important message to keep in mind. And so you're an artist, and so you live a creative life. But if someone is not particularly artistic or doesn't have talents in the arts, how can they live a creative life?
Well, I think everybody lives a creative life. It doesn't matter if you're, I think artistic, being able to draw is something, I've honed over the years, but even someone that cooks is creative. Somebody that is an engineer, engineers are creative. It's a different kind of creativity, but somebody that sews, I have quilting fabric. My art is licensed on quilting fabric, and I've met a lot of sewers who claim, I can't draw, I'm not creative. And I say, oh my gosh, I can't believe these quilters, they're so creative. They design and they paint with fabric as opposed to paint. So I think we all are creative, and I think if we allow ourselves to see the different ways we can be creative in ways that, again, society doesn't put us in a box, just acknowledge that you're creative when you walk outside and appreciate the petals on the flower, the flowers that are in your garden. I mean, the gardeners are creative. There's so many different ways to be creative. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and I think that's such an important message, because I think our biggest creative project is actually our life.
Right.
So, and we're creating that all the time in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. And so I want to make sure our listeners know how to learn more about you and your work. Peg's website is www.wordsandwatercolors.com. And it's just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful website. I have a page open in front of me right now. And on Peg's website, you can go to the menu item that is titled Peg's Book, and you can order a copy of her new book, Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It, 52 Inspired Habits and Playful Prompts. And so, Peg, there are a number of questions that we like to ask all of our guests. And one of them is, what's one small step our listeners can take this week on their journey to living a life of passion and purpose?
Anybody that knows me has heard me say, do you keep a journal? Do you write in a journal? And I would say the one step I would encourage everyone to do is open up a journal and begin writing. And It's so important. It has helped me so much to be able to write it out of me, so to speak, when I'm upset, or to clarify things, or to dream, or any number of things. And I, of course, have a chapter in my book about journaling. So keep a journal.
Yeah, and I can also see where keeping a journal, if you're unclear about what it is that is your encore career or your next step, or even ways to articulate your heart's desire, to just ask that question, what is my heart's desire? And write and see what pops up.
I'd like to add one other thing to the journal. I have a chapter about a journal, and I also have another chapter called Writing with Your Non-Dominant Hand. And this goes hand in hand with the journal. I was taught many years ago about the power in writing with your non-dominant hand, and I would encourage everyone to try that. And you write a question with your dominant hand and then switch the pen to your non-dominant hand. And for me, it's almost as if I can feel like this guidance that comes through as I switch the pen to my non-dominant hand. And although your handwriting will look like you're 7 years old, there is wisdom that comes through that hand that you won't believe when it scribbles itself out on the page. So try that.
I am going to do that tomorrow morning after I meditate and write in my journal. What a great idea. And our final question is, a gem of wisdom you would like to leave our listeners with, if you only had one gem that you could offer us, what is it?
Just live in appreciation for all the wonderful things in your life today. That's it.
Great. That's beautiful. It's simple. It's clear. And so you will also be doing some readings of your book during the next month or so. Isn't that true? Is that in Northern California or Seattle?
Yeah, I'm very excited. And it's fun that the bookstores that I will be doing readings at have already been customers of my Words and Watercolors line, so it will be really fun to do readings in the Bay Area, and these are all up on my website if you click on events. And I'm going back to Seattle, and I haven't been there in about a year, which is the longest I've been away. My two children still live there, so I'm excited to go up and see my kids and a lot of friends that I have up there, and hope to reconnect with lots of people when I'm doing readings up there. And that's going to be the first week of November. I'll be pretty much here in the Bay Area, and then November 18th, I head up to Seattle.
Oh, great. And I'm looking at that page on your website right now. So there are many events listed in November of this year and in Northern California and Seattle. So if you get a chance, if you're in the area, take advantage of the opportunity to hear Peg and see her beautiful book and get a copy of her book signed by her. So, Peg, thank you so much for being with us today. I am inspired and eager to, right now I have a copy of your book on my, it's actually I was reading it on my phone earlier.
That's great.
And so thank you so much for sharing your story of great inspiration with us.
Oh, thank you, Susan. This has been a lot of fun. And I have to say, this is my first kickoff for promoting the book. And I just feel honored to be part of your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, fabulous. Well, it's been a treat for us to have you here. And I look forward, maybe when I'm in San Francisco next, to get an opportunity to meet you.
Thank
you. So have a great day, and congratulations with the birth of your book.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, another very exciting On Purpose interview, and I am eager to ask a question and write in my journal with my non-dominant hand and see what comes up. And so again, I want to give you Peg's website. It's www.wordsandwatercolors.com. And on the site, you can order her book, you can learn more about her work, and you can also check out the calendar of events. And we look forward to having you with us again next week for another inspiring episode of the On Purpose Show. And if you haven't yet joined our Insider Circle, you can do that at www.onpurposeshow.com. And one of our Insider Circle members will be receiving a copy of Peg's book, because whenever we have an author on, we do a drawing. So thank you for being with us again today, and I look forward to being with you again next week when Rick will join us as well. Bye-bye for now.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on the On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.